Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. I'm your host, Ralph Malbro. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. You got a drunk Saints History Podcast coming next week. Me and Dave are going to go over the NFC Championship. That'll be your April edition. It'll be the Vikings 2009 NFC Championship. And then maybe down the line, you'll get the Katrina season. So thanks for donating. We'll have an extra podcast to do with the draft. We might have, I'm working on some special guests there. Maybe some big ones. We'll see, but you'll get that too because you donated and you love it. Kevin, This offseason has been wonderful, but I feel like last week it became the greatest offseason in the history of Saints. I feel like Mickey Loomis is personally on a mission, not just to get the Saints another Super Bowl championship. I feel like he's on a mission from God to get this podcast to average 20,000 listeners a week. The Johnny Manziel rumor was like a dream come true. I need this to happen, Kevin, so badly. Johnny Manziel in the fourth quarter of preseason games in August, fucking things up, looking terrible. Who is against this?
Me?
What?
Yeah.
Why?
This isn't a train wreck franchise. Like, I know the team has troubles and all that kind of stuff, but this is not the destination for Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel may be released before the regular season even starts.
Well, yes,
if he was signed to a deal.
Of course, but I want to watch him in preseason games be terrible. I watched Sean Canfield be terrible. Why can't I watch Johnny Manziel?
Because we talked ourselves into Sean Canfield for about 5 minutes, and he never started regular season games and was a goddamn train wreck. He also didn't win a Heisman as a freshman. He also wasn't photographed or seen with a... rolled up dollar bills,
well,
snorting things or drinking things. He also wasn't allegedly accused of allegedly hitting his girlfriend in a car.
To be fair though, Andrew, the bar for fourth quarter Saints quarterbacks in the Mickey Loomis Sean Payton era is pretty low. I mean, if he doesn't get run over by a golf cart like McPherson did, he'll clear that bar. So the bar is
And if he doesn't line up behind left guard.
Yeah, it's a low bar. I mean, we're not, you know, it's a low bar.
If he's looking to take the snap from the left guard. It's a low bar. I don't love it. It's a circus thing.
I
just think it's lame. I've seen a lot of Saints fans on Twitter be like, oh, take a flyer on him. It'll be for a minimum, and he could be amazing. I don't see any scenario where Johnny Manziel is amazing. I never thought the guy's skills would translate to the NFL, and I watched him play for a lot. I mean, I watched the SEC a lot, so I watched a lot of his games in college, and I just thought so much of it was him in the backfield running around like a chicken with his head cut off, and then just waiting for Mike Evans to get open and then just chucking it downfield. And it was like Danny Werfel style, just lobbing it for his receivers that were clearly better than any DB they were facing.
That sounds delightful in the fourth quarter of the third preseason game, though. again.
I mean, yeah, but you got all the media that comes with it. Is Manziel the heir apparent of Drew Brees? And I'd have to go through a preseason of that, and it would just be annoying. And at the end of the day, I just don't think he'll ever be a good NFL quarterback, period.
Dave, are you going to agree with those two and be against me that Johnny Manziel is a bad idea?
Am I going to tell you that a bad idea? Yeah, absolutely. No. Absolutely. Come on. You got to be kidding. You're doing this just to be difficult.
No, I want to see Johnny Manziel be a dumpster fire. I want to see Johnny Manziel be a dumpster fire with a Florida Lee on his helmet. Is that too much to ask?
I mean, the thing is like the only chance. If let's say they signed him, you're only going to see him for a few quarters in the preseason, and then that's it.
I got to watch the game start to finish and write columns, Dave. I need to be entertained. Is what I'm saying. I mean, you know. I got seven preseason columns to write, goddammit.
If you need like certain guy, like if you want to get people talking and all that kind of stuff and want to get people riled up and have column fodder, you ought to be advocating for Loomis to sign Kaepernick then.
Yeah, but that gets dicey. People get angry because that's politics. Johnny Manziel is just comedy train wreck fun. Unless he like,
well, Colin. Yeah, but here's the thing: Colin Kaepernick would at least be a worthwhile backup. Like Colin Kaepernick has played actual games and had actual results on the field.
Does he? If let me ask you this, and I'll start with you, Andrew. If Colin Kaepernick was like, I'm cool being a backup. Would you want him as the Saints backup? I would, because I feel like he's better than any other backup they could get. And I don't give a shit about the system
So this is a different category for me, because Kaepernick is a legit NFL quarterback. I mean, you can say he sucks, and that's been a common refrain. But, like, in terms of a backup, like, you couldn't get any better. Like, the dude...
He threw 16 touchdowns and only four interceptions last year.
Yeah, I mean, the dude is a legit NFL quarterback. Manziel is not. So to me,
last year he had a quarterback rating of 90.7. Anybody saying he sucks is either delusional or has something else on their mind.
I mean, he's been to the Super Bowl. He's been the quarterback. I mean, yes, the roster was extremely talented, but I don't. It's undeniable that Kaepernick is a skilled player. I would be fine with it. You know, I've talked to Jonathan Goodwin, who is his teammate in San Francisco. I talked to him this week about it, and he was like, you know, this stuff aside, great teammate, works really hard in the locker room, and guys respect him. So
he was named the MVP for San Francisco, but
I just don't think it's a problem inside the locker room. I just know that, number one, Sean Payton wasn't a big fan of what he was doing.
Nope.
And Payton,
Benson's even less of a fan of it.
Yeah, and they asked Payton, like, how are you guys going to deal with this if you have a player like that? And he was like, we're not going to have an issue like that because we've talked about it as a team in the locker room, and we'll come up with something that's appropriate. And then the Saints ended up doing that thing where they locked arms. So I think if there was a player that went rogue and did his own thing, Peyton would view it as a distraction. We know how he feels about distractions. So I think it's a non-starter. Like, I just don't think Peyton's going to – I just don't think – I think that's a non-starter for him.
Dave, practicing Saints news, the Malcolm Butler situation is unresolved. And me and Andrew's dream of our hashtag System Corner t-shirts – I see it dying. Does the longer this Malcolm Butler the longer he goes where he's not traded and he doesn't sign his tender, do you get less? Do you feel like it's less likely to happen as the further we go along, or do you feel like it's gonna happen?
I don't feel like it's gonna happen, but for you who really wants it to happen, who really wants it to happen, I think that it still can happen, yes.
Anything can happen. A unicorn could take me to work tomorrow.
Fuck. I mean, I okay, fine. I think
you,
that
but you don't think it's you
still
don't
a good possibility of it happening. I still have it at 50-50, which 50-50. I think I said it last week.
Andrew, what do you have it as?
I still think it's 55% that it'll happen.
Yeah, or maybe I said 60-40 last week or whatever.
Kevin,
I mean, I think as time goes by, it's less likely, but
I mean, he hasn't signed his tender yet.
Yeah, but he has until April 21st, so I don't know that there's a rush. I think from Malcolm Butler's camp, unless he's like locked in on the Saints, I mean, he has another month to garner offers from 30 other teams. So I think it would be in his best interest to get as inflated of a contract as he can get. So he, you know, I could see this lasting a while.
Kevin, well, obviously Malcolm Butler's a good player, and the Saints are desperate at corner. We'll get to that in a second. But the fun thing about the Malcolm Butler situation is, if he signs the tender and gets traded to the Saints, because the fan bases are so dug in, I feel like, where Saints fans are like, you cannot give up fucking number 11 for Malcolm Butler. And Patriot fans are like, if you don't get number 11 or equivalent value of number 11, then you shouldn't trade him and we got fleeced. So, like, one fan base is going to be fucking irate, which to me is just delightful because I waste half my life on Twitter. But
here's the problem.
And the
you
other
say
aspect.
That,
yes.
You say that when the Saints sometimes are involved, and apparently when it's Bill Belichick, I don't want to roll the dice on that because I'm afraid it's going to end up being us that end up being aggravated and infuriated.
Kevin, if the Saints gave up number 11, how many curse words would you say on the podcast in the first 30 seconds?
At least 25.
Andrew, let's go to a not fun topic. And I asked you, sometimes I text Andrew during the day a lot, but I call him and I'm like, think about this for the show and give me a good answer because I know you watch film and
Who do you text more, Andrew or your wife?
Dude, I don't text my wife during the day at all.
My wife.
No, if I get it, if me and my wife, we conversate twice during the day to like check in. But like we only text if like there's like serious things. Like I don't want to text from my wife during the day because it's usually bad. But so Andrew, I asked you to think about Malcolm Butler doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Saints, people are like, well, they can just go in the draft and get two rookie corners and be okay. I believe that plan is bullshit. So what if they don't get Malcolm Butler, what is another veteran corner that they could get that maybe wouldn't be as good as Malcolm Butler, but it would be like better than two or three rookie corners?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point you have to kind of assume that free agency's done. I mean, they're not going to find some guy under a rock that, you know, every team missed out on that's going to be a really good player at this point. So, I mean, I think the only other alternative, you know, unless you want to make a run at Trumaine with the Rams, who's also, you know, tagged, I really think the only option they have is to kind of go the route of, you know, the Mark Cimino and Scott Shanley and Jeff Fain, and if you think about all those veterans they were able to add over the years, I think getting
dudes up off the street.
Well, no, it's get a mid-level guy that
hello, you know, Joe Hayden.
A team has a bunch of corners, and they're like, yeah, we'll take a third-round pick for this guy that's been pretty good but never great.
Joe Hayden, Cleveland Browns.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, Lord. I want Malcolm Butler. Joe Hayden is not hashtag system corner.
No, he's not.
So I'm torn on this because the next topic, because I'm conflicted on the one hand in that the Raiders going to Vegas will be fucking awesome as a road trip for a Saints fan. And Vegas, they're just going to print money because even if the Raiders go back to being terrible, the stadium will just be filled with the visiting team's fans going to Vegas.
I was going to say, I think this when it happens, I think Vegas, the Raiders leapfrog the Saints as the number one destination for opposing.
Oh, by sure, because it's cheaper. Because it's cheaper. And
well, it's cheaper until you land.
Yeah. Vegas and Vegas will be a primo Super Bowl destination. So I'm torn on that. But Kevin, the more I thought about it today, I looked at it and I thought all these teams, you had the Rams, the Chargers, and the Raiders all move. Should we start to be a little nervous? I mean, 2025, granted it's 8 years away, but that's when the lease for the Saints and the Dome is up. Should we start being really worried, or should we just like put it out of our mind and be like, 2025, that's too fucking far off. I can't think of that, you know?
I'm doing that. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. And I'll tell you why. Like, what you just said is number one. Too far out. Focus on I don't know, the winning or the YOLO and all that kind of stuff, and trying to get to another Super Bowl and all that other kind of stuff. Plus, everybody that's with the team now is almost likely going to be gone. So whatever this team is now won't be around in 8 years.
Are you saying 46-year-old Drew Brees won't be quarterback in the Saints?
Yeah, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say 46-year-old Drew Brees will not be in the league. And
bookmark
Tom Benson, Tom Benson will have shuffled off the mortal coil. If anything, we'll be arguing about. We'll probably have an argument over some sort of weird ownership stake, but. Here's the thing. If in the event that I have kids by that time, I'm not going to raise them to want to play football in any stretch due to, you know, the physical concerns. And at the same time, in the back of my mind, I'm always going to think, well, if the Saints ever leave New Orleans, I'm done. I'm done really paying attention and anything else.
Andrew, so. Yeah. I mean, if the Saints move out of New Orleans, I'll be done with the NFL. And look, people be like, you can pick another team. No, dude. It's like my dad dying. I don't call another man dad. I'm not rooting for another fucking NFL team. I'm just not, you know?
I've never heard that analogy, and that may be the best analogy.
You wouldn't root for
the team even if they were in another city?
No.
In other words, if you were a Rams fan and they moved to LA, you wouldn't root for the LA Rams?
No. I mean, what am I going to do? We're going to keep doing this keep doing this podcast, and it's just going to dwindle down because people in New Orleans are going to be saying, no, it's done. We pack it up. Me and Kevin might do a drinking, angry politics podcast where we just yell at each other. It's done. You know?
Maybe we'd switch to a New Orleans Baby Cakes podcast.
Yeah, Baby Cakes.
Oh. Are we all in agreement that we think Benson? There's no way Benson's going to make it to 2025.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I would say this though:
is it possible that he could last that long? Because I think that's what's important. I mean, if Benson's definitely gone by 2025, and
well, then
you know,
I guess
Gale owns the team or whatever, then I think it's definitely more of a possibility they move. But if Benson's somehow still around, I think.
Benson. I can't believe. I mean, he's what, 89 now? So yeah. 8 years from now, I mean, he'd be 97.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just went to my grandmother's 95th birthday.
I mean, how many overweight people make it to their 90s? Oh, though? I mean, I'm shocked he's made it this far.
Yeah.
I mean that with all due respect. Like Benson, obviously, been great.
He's a billionaire, dude. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
He's old and fat.
I mean, I'm kind of speaking the truth here, right?
Yeah.
But
Aaron says he's old man fat.
Yeah, it's
a
good
different kind of fat.
It's a different. Yeah.
I don't see 90-year-olds that are as big as he is.
I think for a 90-year-old guy, he's doing all right. He's not.
I mean,
like,
you know,
awful.
He's getting the best health.
Yeah, he's probably getting like the best. You know, like platelets and fusions and such. So
Argentinian goat blood.
Yeah, if Drew can get it, old man Benson can get it. But here's the thing: I feel like is as long as Gale owns the team, they're not moving. Because Gale is very, like, plugged into New Orleans, and she got Benson to donate money to Tulane, and, she's very big on legacy, and she would not want in her obituary to be like, yeah, Gale Benson, yeah, she packed up and went to San Antonio. Like, that's not going to happen with her. But what might happen is I could see her selling the team to some billionaire that's not from Louisiana, and the billionaire would be like, I want to keep the team here. I want to keep the team here, but we got to get a stadium. And then that person moves the team, like Kroenke, or I'm trying to think of another owner that bought a team and packed them up and moved. No, Modell, he's from Cleveland. That's not the same. But that's my fear, you know, with the Saints. But it's so far. I mean, I guess my thing is, it's so far away, and any of you three can jump in here. Like, what would be a sign in the next 2 to 3 years where you'd be like, oh, that's not a good sign for the Saints staying? And I was trying to think of it, but I can't. I don't know it. I don't have that answer. But I'm just thinking of, like, signs that would be good that the Saints would stay or bad that they would go. Does anybody have a theory?
Yeah, I mean, I have a couple. I mean, I think for starters, losing. So I would be concerned if we get closer to 2025 and they're 3-13 and Sean Payton gets fired, and like there's an iteration after that where fans are unhappy with the new regime. And I just feel like, I mean, I remember a time not so long ago where the Saints weren't selling out. And I know, like, new Saints fans like to live in this make-believe world where, the Saints sell out every game and will forever. But, you know, that's what the Redskins thought when I was a kid. And
let me tell you something.
For the first time ever, the Redskins don't have a wait list.
Let me tell you something. The Saints did not sell out consecutive games in the Superdome until 1987.
And that was the first time they made the playoffs.
Yeah. So this idea that there's this diehard, I mean, granted, New Orleans loves the Saints, and they go and they support the team, and they were so fucking bad in the 70s and 80s that they probably didn't deserve the support they even got.
They didn't do half they got, yeah.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, in today's NFL, it's like owners are like, I don't give a shit that I was 2-14 3 years in a row. The season ticket base is 40,000. You know, that's what owners think. So that could be a problem. My theory on it maybe is if in like 2018, 2019, 2020, what cities that don't have a team would be like, I don't know the word, like poking around and like wanting a team. You know, if you have a couple cities wanting a team, that could be bad for New Orleans. Or it could be like baseball, where Tampa and Oakland and Toronto are all shit out of luck because no one wants baseball teams and they're stuck in their shitty stadiums.
I don't know. I feel like most major cities have football teams, huh?
Where could a team move to?
San Antonio.
Portland? Yeah, but I feel like Portland. I feel like Dallas and the Texans would put the kibosh on that if it started to go. Or like Austin could definitely support a pro sports team, but I feel like again, Dallas and Houston would put the kibosh on Austin getting the Saints.
You could have a city that could support two teams.
Memphis?
Nah.
It's too close to Nashville, huh?
Yeah. Maybe Chicago could support a second team, but would you want to be that, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Which one of y'all said Portland? Because Portland's a possibility.
I said Portland, too.
Yeah. Andrew, you got any teams?
Oklahoma City?
No, Oklahoma City can't. Oklahoma City can barely support.
Well, Mexico. Mexico's got to get a team soon.
Mexico City,
Mexico or Toronto.
I feel like Buffalo's going to go to Toronto. I feel like Buffalo's going to do like the Bills will do like some sort of weird split thing where they'll be in Toronto, but they'll still call themselves Buffalo or whatever the fuck. You like that? You like my whatever the fuck theory? So that does that. We don't have. Actually, I take it back. We do have some. I was late doing the Twitter questions, but we got to get to the bracket, the best corner in Saints history bracket. I don't even know these Saints corner, the best corner in Saints history. This bracket is so sad. It's like a Smiths album. I mean, Jesus Christ, it's sad.
That might be the line of the podcast. You had the two lines of the podcast
this
right
is
now.
I mean, Kevin, I consider myself, like, of all the media people or whoever, like a guru of Saints history. And this matchup, Ernie Jackson and Gene Howard, I don't know who the fuck these are. They could be Civil War generals for all I know. I mean, who you got? Who you got, Ernie Jackson or Gene Howard, Kevin? That's the 8 versus the 25.
If we can just get some, if you can lay some Ken Burns music over this, that'd be great. Be like, my dearest Beatrice, Colonel Howard has promoted me after the battle
of Manassas.
Over the Smiths album. I fear a great many casualties as a result of listening to the album 3 consecutive times. Yours sincerely. Wait, what was the guy's name?
Ernest Jackson.
Yours sincerely, Captain Ernest Jackson. Yeah, I'll go with him.
Irish Kevin is way better.
I guess I have to go with him because he had he had 4 interceptions in 1974. I don't know. Who you got, Andrew? You did this bracket.
Yeah, these are a couple guys in the 60s, so it's tougher. Or sorry, the 70s. But I think Ernie, for some reason, I gave Ernie Jackson the higher seed. Career interceptions. Ernie Jackson is actually in the top 10 in Saints history.
Oh my God.
With 15 picks.
Wow.
Yep. So, and then you got Gene, what was his name again?
Howard, Mean Gene Okerlund.
Mean Gene Howard, he had 5 interceptions in his career.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with good old Ernie.
Dave, are you going to make it a clean sweep? Dave? Are you even there?
Pondering? No, I'll go with Ernie. His name's way cooler.
Number Ernest. 9. And Andrew, number 9, Fred Thomas. Number 24, Robert Massey.
You know, I kind of liked Robert Massey, and it just never really panned out with him.
Dude, Flipper Anderson broke him as a human being.
Yeah, yeah. I was really hopeful. I remember when the Saints acquired him, and I was like, all right, this guy's going to be a good player. And he had 5 interceptions his rookie year, and so he was a good player, decent. And then his second year, he kind of had the Cedric Ellis effect, where he just fell off a cliff. And yeah, I mean, you're right. I do think that game where Flipper Anderson had like 300 yards receiving, broke him. So it's a bummer. Like, it was a classic case of good rookie season, terrible second year. You know, Fred Thomas gets a bad rap. I feel like a lot of Saints fans hear his name and cringe and hate him and blame the Chicago game and the Saints losing in the NFC Championship game on him. And it felt like they might have made a Super Bowl if they had a better corner.
No.
But the reality is Fred Thomas was a very good player for Jim Haslett. And yes, the wheels kind of came off towards the end there, but he was a pretty good player for the Saints for a while. So that would be my pick.
He was one of the first people Randy Mueller signed in 2000. And when his contract came up, they were desperate to re-sign him and gave him a really nice second contract with the Saints. And he was good, man. Dave, who you got, Fred Thomas or Robert Massey?
I'm going to go with Fred Thomas.
Fred Thomas. Kevin, who you got?
You can put me down for Fred Thomas.
All right, Fred Thomas. Oh, this one's fun. Number 4, Jabari Greer. Number 29, Mo Spencer.
Jabari Greer.
Andrew, who you got? I got to Google Mo Spencer.
Yeah, he played 5 years with the Saints and managed 5 picks in 5 years.
Nice.
Which, you know, when you put up those kinds of stats, you make this tournament. Yeah. That's good enough to be considered in the field of 32 all-time greatest Saints corners.
This is like the CBI basketball tournament, this bracket really is.
He did recover five fumbles in 1976, so I don't know how he fell on so many fumbles, but yeah, that's impressive. Maybe it was because his teammates were fumbling picks.
Yeah,
is the CBI what you get into if you don't even make the NIT?
Yes,
that's right.
Yes,
oh my god,
that's correct. Jabari Greer, I mean, he's the man. Great corner for the Saints. Love that guy.
Jabari Greer, if he wouldn't have had that horrific injury, he could seriously have had a shot to be the best Saints corner of all time, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so who hasn't voted in this? Anyone?
But obviously it's Jabari Greer. Yeah. He should definitely be – he definitely ought to make it deep in this tournament.
Ooh, this is a good one, Kevin. Number 13, Jimmy Spencer. Number 20, Alex Molden.
Jimmy Spencer.
Andrew, who you got?
Yeah. The thing is, Molden, it's not that he was god awful. He certainly wasn't good, but it's not like he was terrible. The problem was the expectations.
Yep.
You know, that he came in as a first round pick and the Saints passed on Eddie George to go with him, and he was just such a flop. You know, the thing is with Spencer, the expectations were almost zero. Because I think he was drafted by the Redskins in like the seventh or eighth round. And then he comes to the Saints and everyone's like, oh, who's this clown? He's terrible. But he actually plays pretty well. And so I think, you know, if you ask me from a quality and just general performance standpoint, like which one was better, I would say it's probably a wash. But I think when you add in the expectations, they were sky high for Molden. And Spencer was actually a pleasant surprise. So I'd pick Jimmy Spencer.
I take Spencer too. He was really good in 94 and 95 for the Saints. He really was. The weird thing is for him, my one memory of Jimmy Spencer, the Saints were playing Dallas in 94 on a Monday night. And that's like when Dallas was like at their peak, you know, their Super Bowl heyday peak. And Jimmy Spencer steps in front of Troy Aikman, picks it off, and goes up the sideline, but steps out at like the two. And you're like, first and goal from the two. They got this. And the Saints, they didn't punch it in. And the Saints ended up losing by four.
Too bad he wasn't wearing white cleats.
Yeah, exactly. That's my memory. But I'm voting for Jimmy Spencer because that's my memory of him. And my only memory of Alex Molden is they didn't pick Eddie George. So I'm going Jimmy Spencer. Dave, who you got?
I think Andrew summed it up pretty nicely, but Spencer played for 12 seasons, and he was an eighth-round draft pick. They don't even have an eighth round anymore. and Molden was, what, the 11th? So, I mean, I think that's all that needs to be said.
Yeah. All right. This is fun, Andrew. Number 5, Johnny Poe. Number 28, Jason Kraft.
Johnny Poe.
Yeah, Poe is hated. I don't get it. Like, I mean, Poe is hated. Now, he's sixth all-time in Saints history for picks with 17 picks. I liken Johnny Poe to Toy Cook a little bit, you know, and just like guys that played for a long time, were pretty good Saints players, put up some decent stats, but he got burned enough times, and there's something about this position where fans just go nuts over the guy that gets burned with any regularity.
Here's my thing. I'm voting Johnny Poe, and here's why. In 1987, the Saints went out to San Francisco after the coulda, woulda, shoulda speech, and you know, they were on a roll. They had won a bunch of games, but they were going back to San Francisco, and it was like they're playing the big bad 49ers. This is where the Saints are going to get their head kicked in, and they're going to go back to being the terrible Saints. And they went out in that game, and they blocked a field goal, and Johnny Poe scooped and scored it. And I was 11, and I was running up and down my hallway, and I loved it. And because of that, I love Johnny Poe. So I'm voting Johnny Poe because I couldn't tell you one guy.
Kraft was a good little backup, though. I mean, he's like a nickel guy, but he wasn't awful.
He was a restricted free agent. The Saints actually signed. They had to give up a fifth-round pick to get him. Andrew.
That's all Kevin needs to hear.
Yeah. Dave, who you got?
Well, here's a fun fact. There was a guy named Johnny Poe who played football for Princeton back in 1891 and then wound up fighting for the 5th Maryland Infantry Regiment. He's got this whole long list of accomplishments. He was quite
the
guy.
The same way?
Yeah, exactly. Well, P-O-E.
Dear mother, send blankets P-O-E. To the front. I am cold in the nighttime. The fire does not warm me. Sincerely, Johnny Poe.
So I'm going to go with, who is the other guy?
Jason Kraft.
Jason Kraft. Yeah, I mean, you know, whatever. Yeah, Jason Kraft.
Is that a two?
He was number 21, right?
Does that make it 2-2? Yep,
that's right. Yeah, Jason Kraft, like, he, whatever is a great way to describe him, actually.
Yeah. All right, so that's 2-2, so somebody put it on the Twitters.
No, I think we all picked all right. Poe.
Okay.
I picked Poe.
All right. I'm voting for Kraft. I'm voting for Kraft.
This,
all right, so I picked Poe, 3-1. So it's 3-1.
This bracket, I don't know if
did I just
if,
say Johnny Kraft?
Johnny Kraft. I don't know if, Andrew, I don't know if you did this intentionally, but this is the ultimate playoff hero versus the ultimate playoff goat. I hope you did this intentionally, Andrew. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
I did.
Tracy Porter.
Tracy Porter, number 12. Milton Mack, number 21. I'll vote first. Milton Mack, in 91, the Saints started out 7-0. And basically what happened to them is what happened to the 2016 Saints. And they lost all their fucking corners. In like from Thanksgiving on, they lost them all, and they ended up playing Atlanta, who at the time ran the run and shoot. And Milton Mack was one of those guys that the Saints. He was on the roster, off the roster, so they were fuck decimated at corner. They signed Milton Mack on a Wednesday. He started that fucking playoff game and got destroyed.
Andre Rison, right?
No, Michael Hayes, who was a former.
Oh, Hayes.
Who ended up being
a
Saint later on. But he obliterated Mack and caught like a stop and go and just juked Milton Mack, and Milton Mack falls down. Michael Hayes goes for touchdown in overtime, ball game. So obviously I'm not Milton Mack. I'm voting Tracy Porter, but I just wanted to give the Milton Mack backstory if you didn't know it.
Yeah, you nailed it, man. And it's funny because, you know, you look at them, they both had 7 career interceptions. I'm voting for Porter. I'm actually curious to see, you know, Porter doesn't have a very good resume outside of that 2-game stretch, but I'm curious to see how much sentimental value kind of carries him through this tournament.
Kevin, who you got?
I can't think. I can't think right now.
Tracy
Porter.
Porter. Yeah.
Porter.
Yeah. Dave.
Porter.
All right, this one's interesting.
Porter Poe is going to be an interesting matchup.
No.
It's not.
Porter's going to cruise for sentimental value.
You think
this
so?
Yes. We got, right. This is the number two seed. This is how bad the Saints cornerback history is. The two seed is Dave Witzel. 95% of Saints fans don't even know who he is. 31 seed, Kevin Mathis. Andrew, who you got?
Well, you know what's pathetic? Witzel is number 5 in Saints history in picks with 19. Do you know how many years he played for the Saints? 3.
Yeah.
3 seasons was enough for him to be in the top 5 all time in picks. That's how pathetic it is. But he did have 10 picks in 67. That led the NFL at the time, and he was a Pro Bowler. The Saints got him late in his career. Kevin Mathis was, I mean, he's kind of like Jason Kraft. He was kind of trash, so this is easy.
Dave, the Saints, their best season by a Saints corner was their first season. That's pretty pathetic. But I'll vote Witzel, too. Kevin, who you got?
Who is the second guy?
Kevin Mathis.
Are you high?
God. I feel like Kevin came from wrestling.
Don't practice. Answer that, Kevin. Don't answer that.
Did Kevin just pop like six Quaaludes before the show?
Vicodin.
The whistle guy. I'm exhausted, man. I just had a real long weekend.
His nipples all torn up.
Yeah. Freaking areola get cut up.
Oh, man.
All right. Don't worry.
Clean sweep.
All right. So the next one.
I'm voting for Witzel. Nathis played for the Falcons after.
Van Jakes Elijah Nevitt. That's another Civil War fucking name.
Elijah.
Private Elijah Neville. We're here in Pittsburgh. The siege is underway, but we are not cracking. I told Jefferson Davis that if he just gets us some hard pack and some cornbread, we'll whip those Yankees yet. I'm voting Elijah Nevitt just because I like the name, and Van Jakes, all I remember him was getting roasted and having a broken arm.
I kind of like Van Jakes as a name better.
Yeah,
it's like
so I'm
Vin
voting for him.
Best buddy.
You're voting Van Jakes, Dave?
Yeah.
Andrew, who you got?
Yo, Van Jakes was in the late 80s. I'm surprised I don't remember him at all.
I don't remember him at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I got to go by stats. Van Jakes had 8 picks, and Nevitt had 6. So I'm going with Jakes.
Kevin, who you got?
Van Jakes. I haven't heard of either of these guys.
Keenan Luke. Dave, number 7, Keenan Lewis. Number 26, Patrick Robinson.
Get that trash out of here. This is easy. I know some people really aren't that crazy about Keenan Lewis, but he did have one good season, or maybe one and a half good seasons.
Hey, that's good enough for the 7th
season.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think he's seated just right. And Patrick Robinson, well... Fuck me sideways with a screwdriver.
He had that 100-yard return in 2012, though.
Child, please.
Yeah, against Michael Vick, right?
Yeah.
Child, please. Keenan Lewis.
I gotta go Keenan Lewis,
plus,
too.
Keenan Lewis is also good for some good off-season fun.
Yes, he is.
Some Instagram rants.
He gave us 2013 on the field, and he gave us 2017 off the field. I gotta go Keenan Lewis, too. Andrew, who you got?
Bird legs.
Bird legs.
Kevin,
flamingo.
You're going bird legs too.
I will also go bird legs.
Number
Kevin Lewis.
Kevin, number
he's
10.
He's probably listening to this. That's it. He's gonna go on a honest about tomorrow.
Kevin. Number 10, Ashley Ambrose, number 23, Delvin Bro.
I'll go Delvin Bro.
I got to go. Ashley Ambrose in 1999 was really good for the Saints. He had 6 picks and was phenomenal.
Yeah, Bro, unfortunately, you know, he's had like one good season despite giving up a lot of touchdowns. And last year was just injured nonstop. I mean, Ambrose, his best year with the Saints, I think, is much better than Bro's best year so far. So, you know, Bro's not done yet, but right now, if you ask me who's the better Saint, it's Ambrose pretty clearly.
Ooh. Dave?
I'm going to go with Ambrose. You know, Bro, if he plays a few more years and he plays as good as he did 2015, he could certainly surpass him, but for now, I'll go with Ambrose.
Honestly, though, like the way last year went, like I could see Bro just as easily like this being his last year maybe in the NFL.
Yeah, like he's got severe injury issues, unfortunately. This
came
one's
in with those, so.
The number 3 seed Mike McKenzie, number 30 Mark McMillan. Jeez, the Saints had Eric Allen and Mark McMillan. They were just collecting Philadelphia Eagle corners and they were fucking terrible mostly. And Mark McMillan was like super small, wasn't he? And like,
yes,
and then he went, and then he went to Kansas City and like led the league in picks, which just infuriated Saints fans, right? Mike McKenzie was good and was a Mickey Loomis trade. They traded for him in the middle of a year and gave him a
that was a great pickup.
Yeah, he was good. I mean, he was decent all the way until he blew out his knee at the end of
And even when he was a has-been, he came back in the Super Bowl season and picked off Tom Brady.
Yeah. McKenzie was good. He's a sneaky pick to win this whole thing, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Dave, no, he's not.
But I'm voting for him just because of that New England game.
Kevin, who you got?
Mike McKenzie.
I feel like in this bracket, I feel like Andrew was drunk and one of these two names he made up. Number 14 is Eric Allen, and number 19 is Vivian Lee. Like, his wife was watching Gone with the Wind, and he's like, I'm going to type in Vivian Lee and see if Ralph says something dumb about him, like he really played for the Saints. That's not a real – Andrew, that's not a real name, right? Vivian, you just made that shit up.
It is.
It is. Give us the Vivian Lee story then.
Well, Vivian Lee was actually a good player for the Eagles. He made the Pro Bowl – let's see. He made the Pro Bowl 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times with the Eagles, and the Saints pick him up, and then he makes a Pro Bowl with the Saints, but it was he had two picks that year. It was totally like a celebrity contest thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was okay for the Saints. I mean, it was later in his career. He wasn't as good as he was with the Eagles, of course, when he made multiple Pro Bowls, but he had 5 picks in 3 years. Or I'm sorry, I was just looking at Eric Allen's stuff. I'm an idiot. All right, let's start over. So, Vivian Lee had 9 picks in his career. And, okay, now Eric Allen, yes. Superstar for the Eagles, I think we all remember. When the Saints picked him up, he made a Pro Bowl, which was a complete joke because he was terrible. And I don't know Vivian Lee because it was in the 70s. So, I have no idea how good he was, but I hated Eric Allen, and I hated him even more for making the Pro Bowl because he didn't deserve it. So I am picking Vivian Lee.
Eric Allen, the only thing I remember about him is, you know, kids, before the internet, you had to get your Saints news from the paper, right?
I was so excited when we got
Eric Allen. They had a report of, like, the Saints flew in Eric Allen on like a super secret visit, and the Saints on the news the next, you know, because the paper comes out in the morning. The next day, the Saints are like, "We did not have Eric Allen in for a visit. We don't. The media is wrong. It's not accurate." And the next day, they gave him like $20 million. So I mean, and we were pumped. Like,
I was pumped.
Because the Saints, like, they with Q Herrick, they never spent any money, you know. So you were like, yeah, "Holy shit! They just gave Eric Allen what?"
He was one of the best corners in the league at the time.
So you were pumped, and it just didn't work out because if you
don't I heard on SportsCenter, and I was screaming. I was so pumped.
Yeah, I'm voting Vivian Lee because fuck Eric Allen.
Yep.
Dave,
I'm going Eric Allen because fuck you guys.
Kevin. Kevin, is Kevin asleep?
Eric Allen.
Eric Allen. Is it 2-2?
The pills 2-2. Just kicked in.
All right. So somebody put it on Twitter. We got some Twitter questions we gotta do. Actually I did it late, but we got a bunch. Kevin, what is the most — this is from Alfredo.
I'll handle the Twitter.
Kevin, what is the most dangerous thing you'll let Drew Brees do for charity? Come on this podcast. Zing!
Bungee jump. Bungee jump over a big river.
I'm going to say pillow fight.
Pillow fight.
Charity pillow fight.
This is from Preston, Andrew, an actual draft question. For all this talk of defensive end cornerback in the first round, we should still be targeting best available, right?
Yeah, I mean, I want a pass rusher so bad that I'd be tempted to force it, and I feel the same way about corner. But, you know, I mean, if guys like Jamal Adams or Malik Hooker or, you know, even Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey at 32, I mean, they're just some guys where if they fall, they have to be under serious consideration. And I think this team has enough holes that they can pick other positions and it'll still help the team. Yeah. So I don't know that I'm 100% locked in at those two positions.
Dave, is quarterback of the future talk redundant? Drew Brees is playing at least another 3 years, yes?
He is playing at least another 3 years from what I heard from somebody close to him one time.
All right, thanks to Ari Cohen, who breaks the tie. He picks Eric Allen, so Vivian Lee is done.
So I do think we're still a little early, maybe next year.
This is from Ryan Dodd, Kevin. Hypothetical, in a world where Loomis entertains trading down, how drunk would you get?
Even though I keep pounding the pounding the table, I would still be. I'm not expecting it. So if that happened, I would be drunk with euphoria.
Kevin, I'll be drunk if.
And then I would get And then I would get legitimately drunk afterwards.
I'll be excited if the Saints, which I think is probably. If they're ever going to trade down under Loomis in the first round, this would be the year where they're at 11 and all the quarterbacks are there and Cleveland and Arizona are like, we got to trade up with the Saints to make sure we get our guy. And the Saints would trade from like 11 to 12 or 11 to 13 and pick up like a fifth round pick. I would be excited for that, Kevin. Just baby steps. Baby steps. On a wedding budget, should I delete mom, dad's friends from the list or tell my wife no videographer? Videographer for your wedding is bullshit, I think. We didn't get one. The only time you're ever watching that is when you're about to die and you're in hospice and your kids make you like a sad retrospective video and they splice in like 15 seconds of your wedding. Other than that, you ain't watching that shit.
No.
So I would say get rid of the videographer because the open bar is what you gotta have.
Oh yeah.
That pretty much does all the questions. The Saints, they still haven't signed Malcolm Butler, unfortunately, during this podcast.
When we hang up, they'll sign him.
Yeah. Let me check my go to Diana Russina. I think that's how you say her name. She's kind of like a basketball person for ESPN, but she broke the Brandon Cooks trade. So I feel like she's got...
That's who your go-to is?
She broke the Brandon Cooks trade. What do you want me to say?
Okay, so she got one.
who do you think is going to break the Malcolm Butler news? I'm going with her.
It would probably be one of those guys, like Rappaport or Canfora or whatever.
No.
It's not going to be like Canfora. Come on.
Schefter.
So, I check her Twitter feed like six times a day.
All right, Ralph, I think we know exactly why you keep checking her Twitter.
She's cute.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Whose Twitter feed?
now he's interested.
Deanna, comes to life. Deanna Rossini?
Deanna.
Oh, she's Italian.
Rossini.
Yeah.
You sure it's not Diana?
He said Diana.
Oh yeah, I forgot. This is Ralph we're talking about.
Butchering
so
the names.
Diana.
So anyway,
did you really just call her? Wait, what did you say, Ralph?
Deanna.
Well, maybe it's Deanna.
It's two N's.
No,
right?
No. It's Diana. It's Diana.
Yeah. The second N doesn't. Well, anyway.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, that's who's my money's on. That she's gonna break it. That's. In the pool. I got my money on her. So
NBC Deanna?
No.
That can't be her.
No, she's ESPN. She's
okay.
Sports. She does like Sports Center in like weird times.
I'm gonna go with someone weird, like I'll go with who's
Garofalo?
Who's Breeze's boy at ESPN?
Ooh, Ed Werder.
Yeah, I'm going with Ed Werder.
That's a good choice. That's a good choice.
Could be Greg Bensel.
Oh no, man. Listen. Diana Russini.
It's Deanna now.
Yeah.
Oh, it is Deanna now. Okay. Well, it's spelled like Diana with an extra N.
Yeah.
But
Ralph, because of Ralph, we're now calling her Deanna.
She's a self-admitted Jersey girl, so there you go.
She's from the Bronx, I thought it said.
Yeah.
It says Jersey girl.
Yeah.
We can't figure out where she's from, how to pronounce her first name.
All I know is she's going to break it.
She was born in the Bronx.
She's going to break the news.
Well,
and
I guarantee she's seen The Godfather, Dave. So,
yeah.
So.
She's going to break the news, and I'm going to do a victory lap. That's what's going to happen.
She knows what to do with the cannoli, and that is not a sexual euphemism.
Yeah. So, this podcast is off the rails, but it's wrapping up, so that's good. So
we're done here.
So go to Saints Nation. Dave will post the podcast and maybe write a column in August.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to do that on Canal Street Chronicles.
That's right. And then go to Saints Nation because Andrew's got mock drafts. He's got the simulator that he's like, top 10 players the Saints should target if they fall. Blah, 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 blah. It's great. It's good stuff.
Yeah, when I'm not texting with Ralph, that's what I'm doing. Yeah. At work, of course.
And then Kevin is on the Twitters. So, we're done here. So for Dave, for Kevin, for Andrew, until next week, the bar is closed.